It is really good to be alive, and it's good to be with you today. I want to read a couple things to you, because I definitely want these to be food for thought. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257, if you want to call in just a brief moment. And this first abstract comes from Cell Biology International, 1996. It says, many of the more than 317,000 cases of prostate cancer that are reported each year, they might be prevented if men increase their intakes of vitamin C and vitamin K. A study from Northeastern Ohio University's College of Medicine found that the combination of vitamin C and vitamin K in a ratio of 100 to 1 enhanced the anti-tumor activity in prostate cancer cell lines up to 20-fold within just 1 hour of exposure in vitro. The researchers speculate that the combined vitamin therapy results in increased free radical damage to the cancer cells and increased cell death, which is what you want. You don't want a cancer cell to live for infinity. No, you want them to have natural programmed cell death. It's just that your body requires certain amounts of vitamin K and vitamin C to do so. Now, let me explain it to you this way. You know as well as I do, if we go into a large store today where you get to see a lot of people shopping, walking around, there might be small children that are beautiful, there might be older people that maybe aren't so beautiful. I'm just joking about that. But you have all shapes and sizes. You have men, you have women, you have teenagers. Everybody is a little bit different, but we're all from the same race. Everybody that can hear what I'm saying is part of the human race. I'm not aware of any other races besides that one. So, but people have different nutritional needs. Not one of you listening would think about putting sugar in your gas tank to sweeten your gasoline. Are you kidding me? That would just not work out so good. A gentleman told me recently that his son keeps putting water in the gas tank of the truck, thinking it's going to operate and run the same way. Well, it doesn't. Well, if your system is lacking sufficient amounts of vitamin C or vitamin K, well, then there's good things that just won't take place because your body is spread very thin. You could tell me that you want to drive all the way across the United States on 1/8 of a gallon of gas, but it's not going to happen because it's not going to take long to run out of fuel. So why don't you consider this morning that just maybe there is an optimal amount of nutrients, and you get those from food that you eat. But if you did have a particular weakness or a particular deficiency like a vitamin K deficiency, that might be a most wise thing to do, is to supplement with vitamin K2 until you can get back online with your diet and your lifestyle and nutrition. I saw a Hispanic lady. I'm just saying that because quite often they're prone to diabetes when they're in their 50s and 60s. And if I'm not mistaken, the highest occurrence of diabetes anywhere in Texas is down in the valley, down south. It's among Hispanic teenage boys. Now, it's been a while since I've read that, but I don't see any new information telling me that the information or the occurrence of that has changed. One of the things I talked to her about is one of the side effects of diabetes is you can develop what's called a neuropathy. And a neuropathy is where the nerve begins to greatly suffer. It doesn't work the way it's supposed to. It's chronically inflamed. You have altered blood flow. It's just in a bad state. It's not healing at a fast rate. The nerve tissue is literally breaking down at a faster rate than what your body can keep up with or what it can repair with. So I tried to give her my strong sales pitch. I said, could you please stop eating sugar and grains? So, yeah, she gave up her Coca-Colas for 1 month and gave up the grains for 1 month, which, you got to admit, that's tough. Giving up corn is a tough deal. especially if it's part of your normal day-in and day-out diet. But I gave her some vitamin K, too, and within a short period of time, all the pain, the burning, the tingling, the neuropathy symptoms, they completely disappeared, both in her feet and her hands. Now, yes, it's true. The foot is probably the structure that's furthest away from the heart. So in my mind, that's probably the part that you're going to see, or the system in the body that where you're going to see these negative deleterious effects of vitamin deficiencies or poor circulation. So when you see your toenails begin to thicken, like with the toenail fungus, well, at the core of that, that's probably very poor circulation. We're just not getting enough oxygen to the toes. I know you can go to any doctor you want. You can go to a podiatrist. They can do the Doppler ultrasound. They say, no, you've got plenty of blood going to your toes. But what I want to suggest to you is, if you have thickened toenails and you have toenail fungus and your feet burn and tingle and they hurt, would you just maybe consider there may be more to the story than just a test that shows that your arteries and your veins aren't completely cut off or blocked off? Anyway, now on the upside, yeah, when you eat real food, let me start over here. I have tried this with all types of people, but if you avoid eating foods that have vitamin K, especially vitamin K2, it's going to be just nearly impossible to reverse significant imbalances that you have in the body, such as a hormone imbalance or a healing deficit. I don't know of anyone that says, oh yes, I love being in poor health, it's just fabulous. Of course you don't. Everybody wants to be radiant and robust and strong. But we're living in a world that's full of toxins. And yes, there is sin in the world. I don't think I have to explain that in great detail. So there are consequences to living where we live, but you're trying to make the best of it. So you're trying to educate yourself as to what to do. One simple idea here. Deep within your gut, we were designed to have trillions of beneficial microbes or bacteria. They're supposed to eat some of the food that we put into our mouth. Now, if you want those good beneficial microbes to make vitamin K for you, you've got to feed them some good food. I don't know that I can say that a Pop-Tart or a donut qualifies as good food. If you had one a year, I'm not worried about that. But of course, since I have a donut shop right next to my office, oh yeah, just about every single day, I get to see firsthand people eating lots and lots of donuts. And if I'm not mistaken, there are quite a few ministries that stop off around 11:30, 11:45, 12 o'clock, right before they close, to pick up all the unused donuts. Unused. Yeah, I'll stick with that. The unused donuts. If you'd like to join me on the radio, there's a phone line open, 903-586-5257. If you have a question, if there's anything that you need help with, if you're not sure about, if you want to try to discuss it, problem solve it, figure it out, I would just be tickled to help. All right, here we go. Good morning to the welcome to the program. Are you there?
Hello?
Yes, I'm here. How can I help you?
Yeah, Dr. Morgan, I had a question around male testosterone. I'm 50, and I went to the doctor a few weeks back and had just a physical checkup, and they checked my testosterone, and it came back at a 179, which is really low.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor suggested I get on some kind of testosterone replacement therapy, which I read a lot of bad stuff about that. So I was wondering on your side, on the natural side, what you could do to help that out.
Did you say you're 50?
Yes, sir.
Okay. When you were a boy, do you remember there were seesaws on the playground at school?
Yes.
Did you have any bullies jump on one end to see if they could launch you into a low orbit?
I think so.
I think I did too. But you know what? Mysteriously, I don't see those anywhere. They must be like a major danger to smaller kids. Anyway, Dr. Wolfgang Lutz, or maybe it's Lutz, it's L-U-T-Z, from Germany. He is a medical doctor, but he has really done some interesting research on testosterone, and that's probably what I'm going to try to... I'm giving you just a word picture of a seesaw. So at one end of the seesaw, we have testosterone, and at the other end, we have a major hormone called insulin. And this is not the only correlation, but it's just a pretty big one, buddy. As insulin levels go up, testosterone's on the other end of the seesaw, it goes down. And so let's say it this way. If you want testosterone to go up or to increase, you know, closer to optimal levels where you can function at the high level. So now this is just in simplicity, but if a man, now I know this is a great oversimplification, so cut me some slack, but when testosterone levels begin to wane, meaning they're less than ideal, you're going to see a man, he just doesn't have the energy that he used to have. Does that apply to you?
Yes, sir.
He may not have exactly the ambition or the motivation that he once used to enjoy, like a real go-getter, like, man, I can't wait to have a day off. I'm going to paint the house today. I'm going to trim the bushes. I'm going to take my wife out to eat, and I'm going to plant roses. But you just lack the motivation that you used to have. Now, if it gets real severe, that's kind of when a man can become kind of socially withdrawn, where he just wants to sit on the couch and watch TV and do other things. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So what do we have to do to get insulin to become lower? Well, the simple thing is cutting out all the excess carbohydrates or sugars. And I know this is not one more oversimplification, but there are just some people, they have burned themselves out over the last four decades with way too much sugar for way too long, with too few nutritious meals, and before long they develop what's called insulin resistance, which kind of leads to the development of diabetes. So one of the ways of getting insulin levels to go downward, and if you can get insulin to go down, then you can get testosterone to come up. And so one of the ways of doing that is just not snacking in between meals.
All right.
The other thing and I really am trying to make this sound simple, because I realize the way that modern medicine looks at this, if you have low testosterone, they want to shovel as much testosterone into your body as possible. But there can be potential side effects. I had an article come in the mail, and it said within 3 months, there's double the risk of heart attacks when men start taking testosterone.
Yep.
So that's just something that kind of makes me, you know, wake up. Listen to things. Does your body look the same way it did when you were 30?
No.
Do you have motivation to exercise right now, or do you feel like you just don't have enough energy in reserve?
Well, that's the thing. I just started, you know, for the last couple of years, feeling really tired, and just like I said, just exactly what you said. On my days off, I didn't, you know, feel like doing anything. You know, so I figured something was up, because I mean, not that old. But,
no, you're like a young stud at 50. I would never tell a 50-year-old man that he's old. Anyway, make a long story short. Can I give you some different ideas of what you can do? And some of these things you're just going to have to accept through faith.
Sure.
If I could recommend one, and there's lots of room for modifications here, but these are just general ideas. I am such a huge fan, if it's possible, to start eating low-starch vegetables. Those are going to be things like cabbage and broccoli and cauliflower and asparagus, Brussels sprouts, kale, spinach, lettuce. I looked at the lettuce in my garden yesterday. It's looking like a light green, like a lime green. I thought, well, it's kind of weird looking. But I didn't plant those, so I'm not responsible for it. That'd be Molly Ann's fault if it turns out kind of lime green. But those low-starch vegetables, zucchini, squash, when you eat those instead of eating the grains, what you're doing is you're giving your body a hormone holiday. It does not have to work as hard. Now, testosterone, curiously enough, is made from cholesterol. which I know that forever and a day we've been told that cholesterol is the greatest evil in the universe. There's nothing more diabolical or evil. You think ISIS over in Syria and Iraq is evil? Not compared to cholesterol. You think Charles Manson is evil? No, not anything. Oh, he's a saint. He's an angel compared to cholesterol. Kim Jong-il or whoever the tyrant that runs North Korea that starves his people to death? No, not next to cholesterol. You realize I'm being sarcastic about that, and I probably shouldn't make jokes like that, but cholesterol's not evil. Cholesterol is the very basis for how your body manufactures testosterone. So you got to have cholesterol to make that work. And the other thing is, your body, there's no way it can make enough cholesterol to make the testosterone that you need, so you're going to have to supplement with cholesterol. So the ways that you supplement with cholesterol is, you make choices of foods that have naturally high occurring levels of cholesterol, so you can use it to make testosterone. That would be meat and vegetables. What do you think about that?
Sounds good to me.
Good. But here's the other thing that I notice. When testosterone levels are low, it's almost always that adrenaline levels and insulin levels are way too high. And so let me give you some simple ideas. And this is just me just giving you short, brief snippets of information. Your body has got to have both magnesium and zinc to aid in proper hormone production and hormonal balance. You also have to have potassium. But the good news is, most of these things you can get just by eating meat and vegetables. But for a short season, you might actually require a little bit more zinc because your body has a hormone deficit. So, as far as zinc supplements go, I'm for them when there's a need for them. If you don't need them, don't take them. You have to see, when a person's low in zinc, they tend to crave just a little bit more sweets than what they really should be eating. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
And so there was a study on men recently where they just gave them zinc and nothing else. And guess what? Their cravings for sweets went down and they all lost a little bit of weight over, it was a relatively short period of time. Maybe it was just 6 or 8 weeks. That's not real long. I know it sounds like 2 months is a long time, but man, I just woke up this morning. It's already April the 11th. I thought this was February. So it can go by real quick that way. So if that sounds relevant to you, zinc is a pretty big deal. It can be. I also believe that you've got to have magnesium. And, of course, we have a lot of government agencies, and some of them, like the Food and Drug Administration, the Centers of Disease Control, National Institutes of Health, U.S. Department of Agriculture, you know, entities like that. I don't know of any of their testing that shows that people have plenty of magnesium. I just don't see it. If I had to choose besides zinc, I'd say that magnesium is one of the greatest deficiencies that most men face. And so if you want to start flipping on all these switches that tell your body, hey, let's start making more testosterone, you've got to give your body what it needs to make a generous amount of testosterone. And you do that when you start cutting out sugars and starches and grains. But I want you to eat good food. But if you snack in between meals, you're going to make your adrenaline and your insulin level spike up, and that's just going to drive your testosterone down. You're not going to have a chance to make it.
Yep.
Now, I realize I'm telling you the hard version. Because the easy version is you just show up at a clinic, they pump you full of testosterone. 6 months later, they raise the dose. 6 months later, they raise the dose again. 6 months after that, they raise the dose some more. And you can develop testosterone resistance. But that's just my ideas on it. Because if you start to feel just a little bit better, that should encourage you that you can actually take off and start exercising more. Now, let me switch gears just slightly. One sign of hormonal health for a man is that he can adapt to almost any situation. But do you think, and I'm not asking for details, I promise you, I'm not digging you for information, but is there any chance that you're probably a little bit more easily angered or stressed than what you used to be?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's right there. You probably are producing way too much adrenaline. And so we might want to give a little bit of love and encouragement to your adrenal glands. I know as a general rule, you've got to have vitamin C and zinc just to be able to make progesterone. I know that usually progesterone is that hormone that a woman produces when she's promoting gestation, meaning she's pregnant, she's got a baby that's growing in her tummy. But men need a little bit too. And so when you start seeing progesterone a little bit lower than it should be, along with low testosterone, what you're going to see on the other end of the spectrum is adrenaline's pushing up too high, probably cortisol also, and it's going to give a man a hair trigger where he's just going to be a little bit more easily angered. So, does that sort of make sense?
Yes, sir.
So if you start nourishing your hormonal system with a different diet, and I would be totally tickled right now if you had chicken salad for lunch today. Make me as happy as it could be. You could say, well, my doctor says that's too high in cholesterol and fat. Well, let's see how that works out. It's probably not going to work out so good. Last time I checked, every disease rate is increasing rapidly.
Yep.
My father was a drug salesman for 25 years. We used to own a Rexall pharmacy when I was a boy in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. I didn't say I was the owner. I said my parents were the owners or whatever. But to make a long story short, all education today is controlled by drug companies, for the most part. And unless it's a disease, your average physician doesn't really know what to do. Now, I will grant this. If you had a raging case of double pneumonia and you're about to die, you better go take an antibiotic, buddy.
Yep.
And if that kills the bacteria to give your immune system a toehold where you can heal, I am for you living and recovering big time. Now, I didn't say that antibiotics don't have side effects, but that's what they're for. They're for life or death situations, not the common cold every other weekend. So I want you to get your strength back. And so there's lots and lots and lots of ways to go about this, but one of the simple ways is just supporting the adrenal glands and what I would call the gonads. And when I say gonads, for a woman, the gonads would be the ovaries, and for the male gonads, that would be the testes. But you know what I mean, don't you?
Yes, sir.
But adrenal support, and there are so many things. Now, part of me is making sort of a joke when I say this, but that's what it says in the textbook, so it's got to be correct, right?
Yeah.
There is the Indian herb called ashwagandha. Sometimes it's called withania. But it's known as the strength of a thousand stallions. Now, come on. Your wife is not going to call me and say, all of a sudden my husband has the strength of a thousand stallions. No one's ever done that to me. Or no one's ever said, hey, Dr. Morgan, I took the ashwagandha and it's true. I have the strength of a thousand stallions. But I get the gist of what it's trying to say. It's trying to say it can help feed and nourish the adrenals and the gonads to where they can do a better job of making what they're supposed to make, which is testosterone, to give you tremendous, robust vitality. The other age-old herb that's been around a long time is ginseng. And I'll tell you, there are some people ginseng works like a champ for. I didn't say it's perfect for everybody. The other one that I think of is called rhodiola. So ashwagandha, ginseng, rhodiola, zinc, magnesium. Boy, those are really, really hard to beat. And sometimes what I'll do is I'll give a person wheat germ oil. I didn't say I gave them gluten or give them gliadin, but I would give them wheat germ oil. It's kind of a substrate or food to make it easier for your body to make hormones out of. So that's another way right there.
All right.
I tell you what, you know how they can do all this in animals? You know how they can drive down testosterone and increase estrogen so they can make them gain weight and pack on pounds?
Yes, sir.
And they give them antibiotics. So we know for a fact if you want to completely screw up the hormones of an animal, give them antibiotics, and they will develop huge amounts of obese tissue about as fast as possible over the next 8 weeks of their life before the slaughter. But you're not a lamb being led to the slaughter right now. We're trying to rejuvenate you where you can accomplish great things while you're here. Because I think I've settled in my mind that I just don't desire retirement on any level. But then again, I am a super young dude. I'm just 50. You know anybody else is 50?
Plenty of people.
Well, I know one. I'm talking to him anyway. But if you will try, if you will consider these things, I really want you to, and maybe you could, that information that I got about the testosterone, it comes from an old book called Life Without Bread by Wolfgang Lutz or Lutz. Just in case you want to look it up, I think I paid like $4 for my copy.
All right.
You know what? You know how many books that I purchased from Goodwill? Plenty. And they've all been bargains. Anyway, I really enjoyed talking to you, and I really hope that I helped you. But we're just scratching the surface, and hopefully this can move you in the right direction, sir.
I sure appreciate it.
You're welcome. Take care, man. Bye-bye.
All right. See you.
All right, let me read this to you right here. And this is really the same conversation. So it applies to all of us. Researchers have found that daily blueberry consumption may reduce blood pressure and arterial stiffness. And this may be due, at least in part, to increased nitric oxide production. The study was an 8-week, randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled clinical trial with 48 postmenopausal women who had pre- and stage 1 hypertension. The study leaders randomly assigned participants to either receive 22 grams of freeze-dried blueberry powder or 22 grams of a control powder. For all I know, it's the imitation blueberry filling that's inside of a Pop-Tart or a donut. Postmenopausal women were studied because they have a high prevalence of hypertension and they often develop arterial stiffness, which increases cardiovascular disease risk. See, that's true. You want your arteries being supple and flexible and pliable. The researchers stated that increasing numbers of people prefer natural therapies. That is true. That means there are a whole bunch of people that are rejecting every drug thrown at them. And there's a lot of people. They start just looking at their medications and just opening up their mind to, maybe I really don't need this drug after all. Maybe there's just one or two medications that I really need until I can improve myself enough to where I don't need them. I may not need these other 10 medications like the doctors tell me I do. I know that to be true. The research team was aware that in vivo studies and a limited number of clinical studies, they've demonstrated that antihypertensive and vascular protective effects of blueberries. Well, I dig this. They're studying the very thing that God has made to see if it can benefit us. The researchers tested and evaluated resting brachial systolic and diastolic blood pressure, as well as arterial stiffness in the women. They also measured C-reactive protein, nitric oxide, and superoxide dismutase at baseline, 4 weeks and 8 weeks. After 8 weeks, systolic and diastolic blood pressure and brachial and ankle pulse wave velocity were significantly lower, that's good, than the baseline in the blueberry powder group, whereas there were no changes in the group receiving the control powder. That comes from, well, it's just a randomized trial. Isn't that interesting? See there, blueberries. I really know what the deal is on this. I'll break it down for you. When you live in a world that has artificial sweeteners, they're going to poison your brain and your body. I'd love to say that Splenda is great for you. It is not. If you want to destroy the healing capacity of the body, Splenda would be a way of doing that. You know, how do I know that? I know that because I believe every story a person tells me when it's legitimate. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Morgan. I'd like to thank you, first of all. I called a couple of weeks ago with symptoms of gout, and tart cherry juice has become my new best friend. I had real quick results from that.
You know, I saw a man in Walmart the other day. He had the reddest cherry-colored lips of all time. It had to have been you. Of course, there was a mustache on his face.
Well, I was afraid to taste it. You said it might not taste great. Man, it's delicious.
Oh, good.
it's as good as a popsicle.
Oh, so you don't have to look in the mirror and go, great, I can't believe he gave me something so gross. Well, good.
No, not at all. I'm calling for my daughter. She's 20 years old, and we can't figure out why she stays cold all the time. She says she's so cold that she feels her inside shake because she just cannot get rid of the chills.
I asked a woman last week, I recommended a supplement to her. It's called ribonucleic acid. Sometimes it's just called RNA for short, but you probably remember when you went to school or reading in a book that we're made of a substance called DNA, right?
Yes.
Well, RNA is what your cells produce, and, oh, this is going to be a great oversimplification, but when we have a lack of RNA, especially in women, they're cold, cold, cold. It just generates healing. And so, but I asked her, I said, are you warmer than what you were? And she said, you know what? I am warmer than what I was. So I know that's an oversimplification, but how many people am I going to be able to convince to eat sardines every day, especially a 20-year-old young woman? Was that her in the background laughing?
Yes.
Oh. Yes, ma'am. Sardines will be your new best friend. Your husband, he's crazy about the tart cherry juice. You can like the sardines. But sardines do contain one of the highest natural concentrations of ribonucleic acid. And it's been a while since I've studied this, but I want to say that the physician's name was Dr. William Taylor. If I'm wrong about that, forgive me, but he devoted his life to studying ribonucleic acid. And I'm telling you, some of the most phenomenal nutritional experiments that I've ever read, and it really gave me a lot of pleasure to read that stuff. But without RNA, you're going to find that the thyroid really begins to suffer. Now, can I say this differently than what I did? Let me get off the RNA for a second. If I tell you that hormones control just about everything in the female body, would you be okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not saying you're hormonal. I'm just saying that hormones, they play a powerful role and how every good thing happens, or maybe however bad things happens. Like you've heard of women having PMS before. I've never personally witnessed it, but I've heard men tell stories, so I believe it could be true. But if you have any glands in your body that secrete hormones, whether that's the pituitary or the hypothalamus or the thyroid or the adrenals or the ovaries, you could be cold. And being cold could be one particular sign that your hormone-producing glands are just underperforming. And, of course, I know in simplicity, what I'm really curious about is, what would your body temperature be if you took one of those old-fashioned mercury-filled thermometers or whatever you have and just leave it right by your nightstand or by the table by your bed or a dresser? Just before you get out of bed in the morning, when you wake up, put the thermometer under your tongue and leave it there for, 5-6 minutes or so, or 10, whatever you want. Tell me what the temperature is. Now, the normal temperature of a female is 98.6 degrees. But if you feel really cold, that would be very, very curious, because in my mind, that would be the glands that manufacture and secrete the hormones. They're just not working up to speed. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Do you have a lot of energy?
Do I have a lot of energy?
Yeah, I mean, are you a real energetic girl?
I go a lot, and I enjoy staying busy, but I'm just tired. So if I sit down, I fall asleep. But if I stay moving, I'm good.
Yeah, and see, that's the deal. As long as you're moving, you have greater circulation, greater blood flow. And that's what the blood is. It's your transportation system. It carries an ocean of hormones and oxygen to all the tissues. But that is just one thing that your thyroid regulates. How efficiently you convert oxygen and food into fuel. That's called the metabolism. So I'm sure not trying to meddle, but if there is one drug that I could give a young woman that could destroy her thyroid, it would have to be birth control pills.
Okay. I'm not on that.
So. Okay. Well, I wasn't trying to pry. I don't want to really be nosy. In person, I'm real nosy, but not on the radio. So, has this been going on for some time?
Probably close to a year now. There's a few other symptoms. When I get cold like that, my toenails and fingernails always turn, like, kind of blue, purple.
Oh, yeah. Well, the other thing that I thought of instantly, I just didn't decide to start with that. And, you know, women are built differently than men. They usually have this monthly menstrual cycle where they lose body fluids or blood. But one sign that a woman is low in iron is she has excessive bleeding. It's almost like the blood becomes thinner and it just flows at a greater rate. Now, if you tell me that your flow is just completely normal and you're happy with it, or if you say, no, I have excessive flow, that makes me think you're anemic. And you could literally be cold just from that alone.
Okay.
There's just not enough energy in the blood. And see, you're describing, you're doing a great job, kiddo. But as long as you're moving, you can do pretty well. But the moment you stop, you could probably, you know, kick back and take a nap, right?
Yes, sir.
Have you ever been tested to be anemic before?
I did. I had some blood work done, and he said that it looked fine. Just take some B12. Now, I know B12 can help. But I didn't notice a difference. I took it for about 60 days, 2 months, and didn't notice a difference.
Well, I would say that's a fair trial. One thing that I could recommend, you could just try blackstrap molasses.
Okay.
Just like your dad may not be crazy about the tart cherry juice, but he's doing it because he knows it's benefiting his body. It's helping him. The blackstrap molasses, that's going to be a food-based form of iron that I think is very, very good for you.
Okay.
Now, can I go down on a different course? I know this is like just, I'm just trying to make it sound simple and direct, but every person has an organ called the liver. And the liver plays a role in helping to balance the hormones of females. And it's a blood filter. And it's a very interesting organ. It can actually make blood if it's called upon it. But sometimes I'll give women liver pills and see if that changes everything drastically. So you've got blackstrap molasses. You've got improving the thyroid. Do you feel stressed easily?
Not easily. Now, this past week has been stressful, but usually not very easily.
You're probably finishing up your master's degree in school, aren't you?
I'm working towards that.
Oh, cool. What's it going to be in?
I'm still working on my bachelor's, but I'm going for physical therapy.
Oh, my word. The sky's the limit for you, isn't it?
Yes, sir. So that's a doctor these days.
That's right. Well, I hope you really enjoy that. I'm sure you're going to make the world a better place. Can I go backwards just slightly? If you had the lab test in front of you, could you just look at the values just one more time? Because it's very easy for a physician to sit across from you and say, well, it's not that big of a deal, but it's your body. And if we find that you have suboptimal levels of these nutrients that you need to make high-quality blood, then that's a big deal. So the recommendation of taking a big honking spoonful of blackstrap molasses, I think that's a good one.
Okay. I have two more symptoms here, and they kind of go hand in hand. I've had allergies for the past, I don't know how many months, even when it's not allergy season. I'm sneezing, and my nose is itching. And with that, my lymph nodes stay swollen. They have not gone down in months.
I had two people tell me yesterday that their allergies are completely gone. And the only thing that I really did was support their adrenal glands. That was it.
Okay.
Just try to feed them and nourish them. And this is just a general rule, but the immune system is, you know how I said earlier to your father that hormones regulate and control just about everything in the female body?
Yes, sir.
Probably men too, but we're not talking about men right now. We're talking about women. But the adrenal glands, they set the tone for the immune system. So if you don't want and maybe what I could say is if we have allergies, this is not what I call perfect balance within the immune system. It's an overreaction. Just like if somebody were sick all the time with one infection after the other, well, that's just a pretty pathetic underperformance on the other end of the spectrum. So you don't want your immune system to overreact and cause either severe allergies or autoimmune disease or eczema, psoriasis, things like that, but you don't want your immune system at the same time to underperform and allow a bacterial infection to take over and eat you and kill you. So you want to have balance. And so the adrenal glands, they play a role with that. And the thyroid definitely plays a role with that. And so just like the guy that I talked to earlier, I mentioned the herb withania. Sometimes I'll give a little bit of withania just to see if it helps the allergies go away. Because you know some of the things that they use in medicine to treat allergies, they might use steroids, cortisone, prednisone. And they do. They suppress the immune system. But all those things come naturally from the adrenal glands. So God has designed your body to be very, very good to you. And He wants it to function at a very high level so you can be very productive and you can glorify Him and praise Him and do all sorts of great things to bless and help other people. See, you've got to be like a pure servant if you want to be a physical therapist. By the way, I loaned a physical therapist one of my textbooks about 20 years ago, and he still hasn't returned it. Do you think he even remembers that? He was working in a nursing home in Longview, and he hasn't even brought it back yet. I can't believe that. Anyway, so if you look at these things, try them and put them to the test and see if they work. You've got RNA, you've got blackstrap molasses, and that's going to provide you food-based iron. I hate to say this, but usually iron supplements are just worthless unless if you want to have a lot of constipation, nausea, and gut cramps. They're good for that. But as far as fixing anemia, not real good. But blackstrap molasses, you're going to find that's hard to beat.
Okay.
You'll probably tell your father later today, that Dr. Morgan is probably the smartest guy I've ever talked to in my life, Dad. He's helped me more than anybody else. He's never even seen me before.
With helping my allergies and my lymph nodes, will that help my tonsil stones or tonsillitis? I get those often.
That's different though. That's usually a chronic streptococcal infection.
Okay.
And so, but you need to be very, very good at milking those. And sometimes all I use is just the smooth edge of a spoon. I go down in the mouth and the back of the throat, and I just try to stroke up or like I'm trying to squeeze them out.
Okay.
But see your tonsils, that's the tissue that has the highest natural concentration of sulfur in the immune system. And tonsils are filters. They're trying to trap and catch stuff so it doesn't get into the deeper parts of the body where it could, infect you or cause a problem. So your tonsils, they have these deep crevices. Did you take human anatomy yet?
Yes, sir.
Was that an easy class for you?
It was a lot of information.
I was going to say, if that was easy for you, I'm going to say you disgust me that you're so smart. Because, man, I had to... I hate to tell you what I did. I was not smart when I went to school. I convinced myself that I could get through a little bit faster, so I took 34 hours one semester. And that was my last class starting at 8 o'clock at night. Anatomy and physiology. That was a huge mistake. Don't ever do what I did. I almost went crazy that semester. Whoo! I'm just now catching my breath, and that's like 20, 30 years later. So if you will. And, I would really milk those tonsils, and I would make sure you get all the debris out of there. And there's a technique called oil pulling. I'm convinced it's phenomenal. Of course, you could also, if your finger was very, very clean, you could actually touch the back of your tonsils and rub coconut oil on them. But everybody has a strong gag reflex. But you can work through that, but you can get all those stones out of your tonsils. And I think you'll tell me the lymph nodes shrink once you get the stones out.
Okay.
So when you have lymph nodes that stay chronically swollen, it's probably because the tonsils are full of debris. But I really want to keep your tonsils. Don't get rid of them if you don't have to. That's a last-ditch effort.
Okay.
Now I need to ask a question. You haven't been kissing boys because maybe they have bad tonsils. Okay, well. So if you'll, does your father have a shotgun? So if you will milk those tonsils, it's just an easy technique to kind of squeeze whatever stuck old infectious debris out of the tonsils, and you'll really be better off because of that. You really will be.
Okay.
All right. I hope that helps a whole bunch.
Yes, sir. It sure does.
Thank you.
Bye.
Wish you the best. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
If you'd like to join me on the radio, there's a phone line open at 903-586-5257. You know, I almost wonder if there's foods that suck sulfur out of the body, do they cause tonsillitis? I say yes. That would be sugar and wheat. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Yeah, Dr. Morgan, what did you say about that a few weeks ago or months ago? You said something about decaffeinated coffee. Was it good or was it bad? I mean, was it okay?
I don't know what I said, but what I was suggesting is they use strychnine to remove the caffeine from decaf coffee. So I'm not into getting residue of strychnine in my body. So if you're going to use decaf coffee, just make sure it's organic and make sure they use, I think what they do is they use carbon dioxide to dissolve the caffeine that way.
Okay.
Before they sell it to Coca-Cola and Pepsi or Red Bull.
Okay. So look for organic decaf.
Oh, yes. Yeah, coffee is one of the highest sprayed crops with chemical pesticides. You don't need that. You need clean stuff. So if you're going to get coffee, use decaf.
Would you get it at the health food store?
Yeah, you sure can.
Okay.
But I've seen even organic decaf coffee at other stores, too. So just look around. Let me know what you come up with.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much. Bye-bye. All right, if you'd like to join me on the air, the phone's all yours, 903-586-5257. Just let me know how I can be of service to you, and I'll be glad to do it today. I've had several people call me about the new natural grocer store that's in Tyler. I haven't been, but maybe in the next year I'll get to go. Ooh, I'm not going to be able to do that today. I've got like a plate full like there's no tomorrow. Surely I can get it all done though, right? I have enough strength to do it. Good morning. Welcome to the program. How are you?
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. What would cause night sweats? A couple of nights, my husband woke up, it was like somebody poured water on him.
Well, there's lots of possibilities. Number one, if a person had an infection of some kind, like you remember having a bad cold or the flu?
No.
Oh, great. Pretend somebody else has had the flu. How about that? But if their temperature fluctuates from high to low, you're going to have a night sweat as a consequence. But sometimes I will see night sweats occur if a person who's been very, very sluggish starts to heal. Their body starts throwing off toxins. So I'm going to encourage you, drink water. Drink the water and help flush those toxins out.
He drinks quite a bit of water.
Well, the other thing that I think of is the liver.
But I'm having trouble with my phone.
You probably have coconut oil all over your
head. Yeah.
Slipping all around, right?
Well, he's better than he was, and I just wondered if was caused by his improved health.
It can be. If a person has been quite, and when I say the word sluggish, that's not meant to be a slur or put down. I'm just suggesting that the organs are just weaker and they're not functioning as well as they should be. But liver support is always what I think of with night sweats as a general rule. So you think he would like dandelion tea or hibiscus tea or milk thistle?
Well, I've got some of that. I'll try it.
Have you seen the thistles growing on the sides of the road?
Uh-huh.
They are huge. They're like monsters. I almost drive by them at night and go, is that like 400 Egyptians lining up in front of a pyramid to load it up? They're just everywhere. It's incredible.
True.
I guess with the rain that we've had, you're going to have thistles like there's no tomorrow. But it's got to be one of the most nutritious plants. And, of course, I never see anybody out there going, okay, kids, let's go dig up the thistles and we'll take them home and eat them. But that's where milk thistle comes from. And that's a very, very good substance. So if you'll try those things, but I would definitely take advantage of the beautiful day. You can serve his breakfast outside. I know that normally you serve him breakfast in bed, but today, if you could... Ma'am, did I say something funny? I'm just stating a fact. I don't know why you're laughing at me. What do you think about eating your breakfast out of doors today?
Well, that sounds like a good deal.
We could just put him on the steps with the plate.
That's right.
That'd be good enough for me.
All right.
Hey, if I had a beautiful woman make me breakfast, I would gladly go sit on the steps of the front porch and eat it.
Well, you have one. Doesn't she serve you breakfast down there?
I don't have any steps on my front porch. It's just flat.
Sorry,
but I could use my imagination. I'll sit on in the grass outside if it's not too wet.
All right. Well, we'll try that.
Yes, good. Let me know what happens. I'm really interested in him making a really good recovery and getting stronger.
We're working on it.
Oh, good deal. Thank you very much, ma'am.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, once again, there is a phone line open. It is 903-586-5257. I'll just get you right in. Lickety-split. There we go. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm on my way to work, but I'm doing just fine.
How many Saturdays a month do you usually work?
Hopefully not a whole lot.
I mean, do you average about one Saturday a month?
Nah, we go months where we don't do any. Spring is busier.
Okay, gotcha, gotcha.
Hey, I've got a friend who has shingles.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. And I guess the middle of her back and on the right side, from what her husband told me.
Mm-hmm.
What can be done?
Well, if you just happen to have vials of vitamin B12 that you can inject, you could do that. But
yep.
Probably nobody has that.
Right.
In the real world, what I think of is thymus extract. Yes, the calf thymus is probably the most common. It's the most widely available. So when I see shingles come up, but the key is, like anything else, the quicker that you get to it. Well, this would probably be relevant to anything. If you sprained your ankle, the more quickly that you elevate it and put an ice pack on it and you wrap it, the better the outcome's going to be.
Well, I think she probably might be like at the peak of it.
Okay, well, I would still give thymus extract, but I usually err on the side of giving lots of it.
Okay.
And the other thing that I do, and there's two techniques, and they're both brutal.
Okay.
So I'm not trying to be mean, but I've seen some people use just raw lemon juice or, you know, unprocessed, just, you know, lemon juice from a lemon is what I should have said.
Right, exactly.
But it is going to sting and burn like hellfire on those lesions.
Uh-huh.
But it can help them crust over. If they'll crust over and form a scab, then it's a done deal. They'll heal.
Okay.
The other thing is raw honey.
Raw honey.
Yeah, and there's other techniques also. There used to be a company that I would buy. What's it called? They would use beeswax, olive oil, but that was just the carrier. It was a Melissa extract. It was a balm made of Melissa. That would be an herb, not a woman.
Right, got it.
And so rubbing the Melissa balm on those areas sometimes can be fabulous, but probably.
Okay.
If I had an outbreak, I think I'd keep raw honey on it all day long.
Okay, I'll tell them. How much thymus extract?
As much as she can take. So if she looks at the label of it and it says, we want you to take one tablet a day, I'd probably take 12. If it says take two a day, I'd probably take 20. If it says take three a day, probably 25.
Okay.
Because what you want is you want to have a very... You don't want to have a sluggish response when it comes to shingles. You want to have a very overwhelmingly robust immune response where it becomes a done deal. She needs her body to have closure when it comes to this viral infection. Does that make sense?
Right. Yes. Yes.
If I had a homeopathic no-sode of herpes zoster, I'd give it to her. I just don't. Just the homeopathic dilution of that sometimes can knock it out so fast it's unbelievable. And you know the other thing that I just thought of?
What's that?
Okay. I know I'm keep adding to the list, but you don't mind, do you?
Not at all.
Sometimes
I have a good brain.
Yeah, you do. You have a great brain. And you have I started to say, an even better singing voice and personality, but you might be offended if I said that. But I meant that as good.
We'll work with it.
Well, sometimes I'll have a person chew on bee pollen granules. So if you happen to be driving down the road and you see a little old man selling bee products like honey, things like that, it wouldn't be a bad idea to stop and say, hey, do you happen to have any bee pollen.
Okay.
All right.
Great. Thank you for your help. I
you
know
betcha.
You're up against the clock.
No, but I'm glad you called. Thanks a bunch, buddy.
Hey, have a great day.
Oh, you too. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
All righty. Here we go. There are two main forms of vitamin K. There's vitamin K1, which is called phylloquinone, which is found in green leafy vegetables or plant foods, and there's vitamin K2, which is minoquinone, which is found in animal foods such as meat and butter and fermented foods such as Gouda cheese, like I've talked about in the past. Vitamin K2 can be further divided into several subtypes, but the most important ones are MK4 and MK7. That's minoquinone 4 and minoquinone 7. The main function of vitamin K2 is to modify proteins in such a way as to give them the ability to bind calcium. Vitamin K1 is mostly used by the liver to activate calcium-binding proteins involved in the clotting of blood, while vitamin K2 is used to activate proteins that regulate where calcium goes in the body, such as to the bones and the teeth. K2 activates the proteins that regulate that. Does that mean that without sufficient amounts of vitamin K2, that you cannot activate those proteins to get calcium where it belongs, meaning the teeth and the bones? Yes. It seems that vitamin K2 can help prevent calcium from being deposited in the arteries. We know that's true. In this is in quotation marks, in the Rotterdam study, those who had the highest intake of vitamin K2 were 52% less likely to develop calcification in their arteries, and they had a 57% lower risk of dying from heart disease. Another study of 16,057 women found that participants with the highest intake of vitamin K2 had a much lower risk of heart disease. So for every 10 micrograms of vitamin K2 they consumed per day, their risk of heart disease was reduced by 9%. Now that is a big deal. That is huge. Now, why is that not being broadcast? Other than from KBGS, of course. Yeah, it's coming from this radio station, which I'm very thankful to give that information to you, but there's no way that a cholesterol-lowering drug can compete with vitamin K2 at improving the health of a person's heart. Yeah, but they're not going to talk about that narrative. It's going to be a very... Let me ask you a question. Do you believe everything that you hear, or do you sometimes, are you willing to question, you know, what you hear? Well, I want you to weigh this in your heart. We don't need calcium building up in your arteries, clogging them. No, 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 no. Well, it's truly been a pleasure to be with you today. I'm Dr. Roy Morgan, and this is Health Essentials.